Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. This is your host, Steve. Today we're joined by George Guzava, the CEO of CryptX. CryptX operates all sorts of really neat things in the crypto space. They have a terminal for trading, they have a wallet, and they also ran the very first crypto ATM in the Caucasus. So please stay tuned for that and much more coming right up on the FinTech Newscast. Hey George, welcome to the pod.
Hey Steve, nice to be here. Thank you very much.
So George, as I mentioned in the intro, you guys have an ATM, you've had a wallet, an exchange. How did it all get started?
Actually, everything started with the crypto ATMs back in 2017 when our founder decided to put some crypto ATMs in various places in Georgia. Not the state of Georgia, but the country of Georgia. I have to always mention that so that public do not, you know, confuse the state of Georgia with the country of Georgia in Eastern Europe, in the Caucasus region, quite small one actually. Mm-hmm. So when these ATMs, were put around the city, capital city first, there was a lot of interest and people were like, oh, it's an ATM, but it's something different. It has a big B and big L and on it, like, Bitcoin and Litecoin so what is it? And that was actually, you know, when just general public got to know it. So I think lots of people understood and researched and everything. And back then, I think when the first ATMs were coming into the city, the Bitcoin was still about like $1,000, not more. So. Wow. Yeah. So that was the year when everything started. Crypto exchanges was not very popular. People were still afraid of them. There were lots of scams and everything. So just, you know, putting money into the ATM and getting Bitcoin somewhere on your wallet sounded like a good deal, sounded like a nice idea. So people actually started investing and buying Bitcoins, which cash at that time. And then as we saw that the business was expanding, we, you know, added some more ATMs. We currently have like more than 40 actually in different cities, and we are currently the only players here in Georgia.
Interesting. So going back to the beginning of the company and the group of companies that you have, you mentioned the ATM as well. I have to actually profess some ignorance here. I've never used a crypto ATM. What is the user experience to say I have funds in a crypto wallet and I want to convert them to, say, dollars or euro or some other currency? What does that process look like from an ATM? And what kind of volumes do you see in Georgia as well for transactions?
Yeah, so the important thing here is that, like, if the ATM itself is one way or two way. One way means that you can, you know, buy cryptocurrencies, but you cannot sell cryptocurrencies. So you cannot actually get cash. You can only put cash into the ATM. And you will be sent and like input your codes, or it will kind of scan your code and the crypto will be actually sent to your wallet. So that's
so, one. Hold on. So is this a card based transaction, or you mentioned codes or QR codes? Is this based on your hash number, or what is the actual the mechanism via which the machine authenticates who you are in the wallet?
Yeah. So you just input the parameters, then there is a kind of wallet address. And wallet address can be just shown as a QR code. That's what I see. Based on this, the transaction actually happens, of course, on the blockchain. And of course, it has its unique TXID. You get your funds like depending on which block your transaction goes in. So that's the main thing when you buy the Bitcoin or Litecoin or anything. But on the other hand, for two-way ATMs, you can actually buy and sell. That means that you just go to the ATM. The ATM shows you the address, its address, its own address, like where you should send your funds. And then you get your cash from the ATM. As I told you, the main need 4 years ago, I guess, was to enable just the ordinary people who also wanted to invest in cryptocurrencies, and especially Bitcoin. So that meant that they did not have to, you know, do some transactions, kind of trust parties, different parties, because there were, as I told you, lots of scams and lots of people were, you know, losing money. Lots of people are still losing money in crypto world, and that's, I think, the worst that has happened, and that is happening to the crypto world in general. But you know, you have to, of course, protect yourself. When individuals do not have that much knowledge, they just prefer something that's, first of all, is kind of Georgian, the company is Georgian. If something, they can, you know, call someone and see what has happened. If they, when they kind of input their money, why did not they receive the Bitcoin, for example? So they kind of had these trust issues that the crypto ATMs in that time solved. This crypto ATM business is, you know, declining, I would say, now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I think that there's going to be some point where it will stop, and it will not go to zero, but, you know, there will not be any growth. Even though last year, I think 47% was the increase in the total number of crypto ATMs installed in the world, but the volume per ATM, of course, is decreasing.
Got it. I assume that as cryptocurrencies become more mainstream, you know, with Coinbase going public somewhat recently, and sort of crypto becoming more top of mind for people, I'm guessing that maybe some banks, at least in the US, will embrace cryptocurrencies and maybe be able to convert some of their ATMs to process both a fiat currency and cryptocurrencies as well. But exactly, we'll see. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great point about Coinbase itself. I think Coinbase direct listing is actually a victory for all the crypto community. It means the acceptance from investors. It means the acceptance from the regulators as well. It also means how much value can be created within this short period of time. And I think it is also a victory even for the Coinbase's competitors, actually, because, you know, even though your competitor is doing good and is doing well, I think still it's kind of, you know, a flagship moment. And it's this listing was kind of very, very anticipated. Even here in Georgia, the people who were following this news, they were very, very excited, and the crypto community in general was quite excited, even though crypto community is not that big here in Georgia. Right. For example, even the central banks and the governments are thinking about this, right? Central bank digital currencies are in development in lots of different places.
Sure.
You know, this the efficiency that this technology can bring, the distributed ledger technology itself, I think is enormous, and there are still ways where we'll learn and we'll see how and where it could be used.
Got it. Taking sort of a broader look as well, you mentioned Georgia, and you also mentioned that your company was funded in part by a grant from the Georgian government. What is the crypto scene in Georgia? Because I think Georgia, they're sort of in this liminal space where they're, you know, a former Soviet republic, but also with aspirations to join the EU. There's been some political conflict, and from my understanding is that it ranks sort of in the middle in terms of its fintech innovation in the Caucasus and in that region of the world. What is the cryptocurrency like in Georgia? And can you speak also to how maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Georgia was, I think, one of the top five crypto mining countries in the world because of its cheap access to energy?
Thank you for that question. Before jumping to cryptocurrency in general, I would say the startup culture is also kind of booming in Georgia for the last 3 or 4 years. And this, the last year was a pivotal moment when 500 startups, which I'm sure your listeners and you will know, was these 500 startups actually entered into Georgia. And the financial partner was Bank of Georgia, which is one of the largest banks in Georgia, which is listed on London Stock Exchange. And on the other hand, Georgia Innovation Technology Agency was like indirectly funded through the from the World Bank. So this kind of this partnership brought 500 startups into Georgia, and there were already two batches. And the startups, there were four startups actually, even though they were planning to, you know, invest and kind of make the winner only one per batch. The startups were so good quality that they just said, okay, let's increase funding and let's at least have two winners, you know. On the other hand, when we see, let's move to crypto itself and your questions, crypto is really supported. And the thing is, the regulations are, some of the regulations are there, mainly Georgian government and National Bank of Georgia follow the international guidelines and directives. And we have the dedicated plan to, we want to enter European Union, for example, in 2024, we want to make the official request to enter. We're changing some of our code and laws according to you. And that is something also quite cool because we are like kind of using best practice. I believe that with the crypto regulation as well, we should kind of, and the government, I think, we should kind of embrace this technology, use it, they should not just, you know, block and ban everything. They should see what are the risks, what are the rewards. And I think that, you know, proper cost-benefit analysis should and could be done. And based on that, I think nice regulatory framework is very, very important, because without regulatory framework, there is vagueness. And this vagueness is, of course, quite detrimental for lots of industries. And when you mentioned that Georgia was in top five countries in like Bitcoin mining facilities as well, that's also quite, important. It was quite important. I don't think it's the situation is the same now, but we still have this mining facility next to Tbilisi, the capital city. And the thing here is that, yeah, due to cheap energy, and we are mainly based on hydropower, but we also have some thermal power plants as well. We still lack the electricity for the future, right? Because the development, the construction of different HPPs are, first of all, quite slow. And sometimes there is a quite valid opposition from some of the communities, because some of the agreements that we have done are not, that clear, it's not quite easy to understand what they mean and what they bring for Georgia in the long term. But one thing is certain, that as Georgia has lots of untapped hydropower resources, like hydro resources, I think that not using them properly, of course, with all the relevant regulations, environmental guidelines and everything, not using them properly is something that's going to be detrimental to our economy in the long term.
I've also learned that it seems like the government is, as you mentioned before, in addition to funding companies like yours, I presume, they're also taking an interest in blockchain technologies, right? I've read that recently Georgia is using blockchain to conduct or track land records and customs documents and other use cases as well. Do you see the Georgian government as being a key driving force in moving the country on this fintech spectrum forward? Or do you feel the growth is more driven by the public, by the private markets in the country?
Thank you for that question. I think a little bit of both. And what you mentioned about this public registry and land registration, that's absolutely correct, even though it is done still in parallel to the existing system that we have. It's still a good step forward. And I think that soon enough for the full transition to blockchain for this kind of stuff and something else, some other stuff as well, is quite potentially quite beneficial. And I believe that this Georgian Innovation Technology Agency itself, which is a kind of entity below the Ministry of Economy of Georgia, I think they are really doing the great stuff, and they are actually supporting lots of startups through various programs, and they are also kind of bridging the gap of network that Georgian startups and Georgian entrepreneurs cannot directly get from more developed nations, from like Europe, for example, or from the US, and where the startup ecosystem is, much bigger, much better, and the funding and access to capital is much easier. I cannot say they are just the only driving force. Of course, private investment, private interest is there as well. But in fintech space, in other spaces as well, if some startup, what some startups are doing is kind of innovative, then the government and GITA, Georgia Innovation Technology Agency, actually support them really a lot. And I think that support and this key support is like, access to network, of course, and access to capital is important. Access to talent is also important, like advisors and stuff like that. I'm not sure that the Georgian startup can actually hire a lot of people like outside in the developed countries. I think it's a way around. But the thing is, still this this key feature, this key places where Georgian Innovation Technology Agency, indirectly government, helps startups is very important. And as I told you, it was kind of the fruit from it was the entering of 500 startups in Georgia, which actually created something else, for the Georgian country, for Georgian community. Even there are some startups from around Georgia, from like some Eastern European startups, who are actually registering their companies in Georgia to be able to participate in 500 startups, program. So, this kind of stuff actually really, really helps.
So you're actually able to attract regional talent, which is great. Going back to the cryptocurrency space, we've seen, we saw somewhat recently also a dip in crypto prices. And there's also been sort of this very long gradual decline in Tether, which is the, one of the most prominent stable coins, at least from the US perspective. I'm wondering, what is your take on the the dip in asset prices in crypto, and also on the stable coin versus not stable coin debate? Do those things matter to you as a company, or are you just focused on crypto as an overall asset, or do you have a player that you want to see grow in the space?
It's like kind of indirectly related. So even though we directly do not do any kind of investments, our clients are interested. And if the crypto itself is increasing, the interest is increasing, so the interest towards our portfolio products also increases. Our business is not that dependent on what the Bitcoin's price or what the Ethereum's price or what the price gonna be. But we are more kind of what's gonna be and what is the activity around. What are the crypto communities talking about? How interesting this crypto itself is. We only look at the prices from the risk management perspective. For example, like we have the risk management, because we also have some kind of inventory in some of the crypto currencies ourselves. So we just do not want to have too few or too much of some currencies, because we do not want to take on additional forex risk. So we always try to hedge our exposure, but as I told you, when the prices increase, the interest increases, the community increases, and the the interest towards and the demand for our products also increases. So that's how we see it. Personally, like I think Tether was like at the beginning of 2020, I think the market cap of Tether was like $4 billion, right? Something like that.
Right.
And just when the pandemic started, like the increase was like 100%. Like we went from 4 billion to 8 billion, like in a couple of months. And now it's around more than 40 billion, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that means that this, you know, the adoption of stable coins has happened. And of course, there are like USDC and other all TUSD and these kind of other stable coins as well that are being used. But the main thing here is that the birth of Tether, new Tether, means one less dollar from fiat currencies, right? Because it is kind of fully backed. And if someone is using Tether there, they have sacrificed their fiat, right? So that transition, I think, is really, really important. As for specific cryptocurrencies, I will not, you know, start discussion of it. Doggy is a quite a, you know, unpredictable and something that personally I cannot make sense of.
Yes, like, same here. Yeah, it seems like it's sort of a joke, but it's taken off in a way that's very shocking. Yes.
Yeah, but what I actually read today, and I completely agree, is that Mark Cuban said that wrote that you know, what Doggy has shown us is that demand and supply is undefeated, and I think that's really, really something that, you know, comes from the basic economic concepts, but is applied to everything. Like demand and supply actually dictate, of course, the price. And if someone is willing to pay X amount for this, that's because they have like demand for that, and there is a supply at that point. If no one would be selling, the price would increase because someone really wants to buy something, right? So I believe that. Yeah, even though I cannot make sense of that, I can make sense of demand and supply. And to be honest about the Doggy and about some of these kind of currencies, I'm a little bit afraid. So
it would be like, it seems like a crazy combination of boredom because of the pandemic, access to trading technologies, in the US at least, some access to some of the stimulus funds, and just a combination of factors that make it look like it won't be a sustainable thing. But it certainly is fun to watch, right?
Yeah. It moves to like it even exceeded Tether in market cap, I guess, right? So,
going forward, both as a company and as a fintech, ecosystem, where do you see Cryptex in Georgia, say, in the next 5 years, as you both look to apply to EU membership and you look to grow your company, maybe expand to other markets? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Yeah, so I guess this kind of development from the political standpoint and from the geopolitical standpoint as well would help our company a lot, our group of companies, and all most of our portfolio products. We believe that we already are the biggest player here in crypto and blockchain in Georgia, but we believe that we'll be the biggest regionally as well. By region, we mean this our Caucasus region and Eastern Europe in this case, in like from next 3 to 4 years. And from 5 to 10 years, we believe that our group gonna be on a way to become the next unicorn due to our range of offering and our great customer support, actually, our kind of grasp of a great good geographic location on one hand, relatively good and cheaper talent on the other hand, and also a clear vision of where we're going.
That's great. I love the optimism, and I love to end on a high note here. So thank you again, George, for coming, and thank you for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't, and we'll be back at you next week on the FinTech Newscast.